listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 216 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, and joining me is Chris Robley. Chris, how are you doing?
I am particularly proud and excited today because just this morning I created what I think is my most ridiculous and most amazing Instagram story ever.
Wow. That's yes. A great teaser for today's show. I'm actually recording an Instagram story right now because today we're going to be talking about Instagram and Instagram stories.
So timely.
Yes, it's very timely. And the people that are looking at the story have no idea what you just said. So they're going to have to go check it out on the podcast and know what we're going to be talking about because that was a great teaser. and I'm going to have to put this down because a little peek behind the curtain of the making of the podcast, this is actually take two because the first time we started this, I put record on the video and not on the podcast. And sometimes I'm amazed that we actually get this thing put out. so I'm going to stop stories and we'll have our real conversation.
You realized only after about a minute, though, as opposed to realizing after a half hour that we weren't recording, which is...
Yes. Yes.
Thankfully.
Which just kills all the mojo. So, yes, we're going to be talking about Instagram and Instagram stories, but we've got a few things to talk about, chit-chat about before then. You just launched a giant campaign, or I don't know if giant. I don't know if...
It feels giant. I don't think it's giant in the presentation, but I would say the back end, building it and, you know... corralling together all the tools required. It was an undertaking. So basically what it is it's a free plus shipping offer. And if you don't know what that means, it's basically you're giving something away. And in return, the person is paying for the cost of shipping and handling to get it to them. And in my case, I'm giving away my album, The Great Make Believer. I'm signing, autographing copies. And then the idea is that, you know, you take people who might be sort of up to now sort of somewhat interested in your music and you turn them into a customer or something close to a customer, at least since it's technically free. And then along the way, as they're checking out, you also offer these upsells. So I've got, you know, an additional CD, my previous CD, and then a t-shirt and things. And I've been really pretty pleased with the rate at which people are taking the upsell. I think it's almost, it might even be more than 50%, which is crazy to me. So that's been exciting. And so far I haven't done a whole lot of sharing it with my like email list and making a big push because I wanted to just set up some Facebook ads and see how it did if I mainly contained it to Facebook, just for my own sense of simple measuring. But yeah, I'm excited about that. So if people want a free copy of my CD, go to go.chrisrobley.com.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes and compare notes. I was doing something similar for Small Town Poets, but I turned it off when we left for the conference because then I was only home for a couple days and then in Australia for basically 2 weeks, and I didn't want to have all these orders piling up and people getting mad at me for not sending them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just on the back end, sort of all the work that goes into it is, you know, you have to have a kind of platform to feature the offer. I created a whole video for it that goes along with the offer, which I also use as the ad on Facebook to try to get people to the offer page. And then you create the upsell pages and things. And then in addition to that, you know, you need a way to manage the transactions. You have to automate some way of sending a confirmation email. So for me, that was MailChimp and, you know, set up the trigger, and it's a whole process, but hopefully it's complicated on the back end so it can be very simple for the user or for the customer.
Yes, it was. I spent a lot of, it took me weeks to get mine up just because I was doing it chunks of time each night up to like midnight or one. And then I'd find, oh, now I need this other thing. Dang it. I'm going to have to do this tomorrow. And then trying different things. I decided that we should have a segment or just call, put this under the umbrella of the DIY Musician Labs. And our tagline would be, we're draining our band accounts so you don't have to.
That's funny.
Because that was the other problem. I got to a point like right before I left for the conference. Well, I'm going to have that hard conversation with the other guys in the band when they wonder what happened to our PayPal account. I've been trying stuff. Just leave me alone. It's marketing.
Right. Well, and with something like this too, when you're forgoing collecting a fee for the actual product, you just hope that's, you know, low margin, low risk in terms of you giving the thing away so that you at least, you know, break even on the shipping costs when those are weighed against what you're paying in advertising. So far I'm ahead of the game by a little bit, but I think if I get to the point where I start like, you know, losing out on it, I will shut the campaign off, or when I get to the end of my supply of CDs that I have to give away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll do, it'll be a multi-episode discussion about all the experimenting you and I have been doing on Facebook ads and with this free plus shipping campaign. It'll be good. It gets pretty nerdy into the marketing world, and it's not light, fun content. It's interesting, but it's something that you have to really dive into and even take notes on. I had to re-listen to a whole bunch of various marketing podcasts and training things that just because it gets complex. But
you and I both kind of had advice from different folks in that segment. So, I mean, I guess if we get more into this in a future episode, we can mention how their advice differs, or if it does.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Indeed. Well, I mentioned on the last episode of the podcast that I was in Australia, and I mentioned just a minute ago that I just got back. That was exciting and really cool to meet a lot of artists down there and lots of podcast listeners.
And you also really got to hold a koala.
I did. I did hold a koala.
Which I knew about because of Instagram.
That's right. And that's the whole reason I went. I thought, all right, CD Baby asked me if I would go to Australia. And I thought, well, if I can get a photo op with a koala and get some, you know, a record like count on Instagram, yeah, I'll do it. But yeah, I held a koala, fed kangaroos. The koala was the better photo op, but the kangaroos were more fun. The kangaroos were more fun. They just hand you the koala and, you know, you have to hold your hands a certain way. It's not like you can pick it up and throw it around like a baby and kiss it or whatever. And so you can barely even see it because it's on your chest. And then
you have a habit of picking up and throwing babies around.
Of course, doesn't everybody? But they smell, and you know, your hand is strategically placed where you probably wouldn't want it to be. And so, anyway, it was a good photo op. But the kangaroos were more fun. But actually, more fun than all of that was hanging out with the artists that I was there to see, and lots of interesting opinions and perspectives from artists down in Australia, and lots of good questions too. There's some people doing some great stuff. And I even talked to some folks, Sue, who had pink hair. She was at our conference, and I walked in and she had that little DIY Musician pop socket on her phone. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You could only gotten that in Nashville. And it's like, we were there. So it was cool.
That's cool. That's awesome.
And speaking of the conference, we got some thank you notes. Both of us did. And I just wanted to acknowledge those. One from Gospel Lee. Very, very nice, sincere thank you note that was very personalized. I'm assuming you didn't get the same one as I did, Chris, because he talked about my band's music. So very, very kind and thoughtful. Very much appreciated. And also got one from Ben Brinton, I think that's how you pronounce the last name. I didn't meet him at the conference, and he even mentioned that in the thank you note, but he still sent it along. And I personally very much appreciate it. It's, if you saw the Instagram story of the recording of this podcast, I'm in a room by myself. Chris is in a room by himself. And sometimes, you know, you just feel like, who's listening? And it's so great to get out and meet people that are listening to the podcast, excited about it. And then, you know, getting thank you notes, it just kind of helps keep us helps us keep it going those dark, rainy Portland days.
I was moved by both. I got letters from both of them as well, and I loved Gospel's stickers that he sent along with the card. And then the other note, it was Ben, right?
Yes.
Ben, yeah. His note gave me that sense of like, oh, I do what I do for a reason. Like it actually matters. And then I strategically left it on my kitchen island so my wife would see it.
You know what's funny is I opened Instagram stories and saw your post of Gospel-y's thing, and I had just taken the exact same picture with the two stickers sitting the exact same way, only you took it on a black table and I took it on a white one. I'm like, well, I can't post this now because he's just going to think I'm copying him. But that was funny. All right. Today, we are going to be talking about Instagram and Instagram stories. And I was surprised to look back and realize that we've not done a podcast about Instagram and or Instagram stories yet. And Instagram is my favorite social network that I think is the most interesting and engaging for music. And so we're gonna remedy that problem right now and do an episode about Instagram and Instagram stories.
Awesome.
So for today's episode, we're going to set aside IGTV. That's still new and kind of a whole nother animal. And we didn't want this episode to become 4 hours long, but we're going to set that aside and probably not talk too much about Instagram Live, although I know a lot of you listening to the podcast have been using it. So we're really going to be talking about the mechanics of standard Instagram and then the mechanics of Instagram stories and strategies around all of that. And
yeah, and I don't know if you had planned to talk about advertising at all, but that's a realm in which I have not really delved personally, besides the thing where you do a Facebook ad and you just automatically share it to Instagram, mostly because I've heard up until very recently, Instagram wasn't a great advertising platform. I know that's changing, but so I don't
I've heard
think
that.
We're going in that direction either for this discussion, right?
I've heard that as well, but I click on Instagram stories constantly. I mean, Instagram ads constantly, mainly because I feel like I keep getting the same ones now. I was looking for some shoes online and now I just get tons of shoe advertising, but they're not, you know, they're interesting. It's not Nikes that I'm being advertised. I'm being advertised like cool stuff and that I find interesting. And so I always look at them. So in fact, it's gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, that's a interesting product. I need to swipe a couple times on the ad so they'll remind me to look at it later and keep advertising.
Really love ads.
Yeah, I'm just too lazy to go bookmark it at that time. Yeah, please send me more ads. No, so Instagram ads, we won't talk about that today, but that does lead into one of the first points I wanted to mention, that is there are two types of Instagram accounts. There's just your standard Instagram account, and then there's a business Instagram account. There's not that much difference, but the main difference is that if you make it a business account, which all you have to do is click a link, it's not like it really changes much. You just click a link. And it enables analytics. And so you can get more analytics about what you're posting. You get demographic information, like who's looking at your posts. And there's an expanded contact section. So, for example, if you're a band and you want it to be easier for people to contact you through email, whether for booking or whatever, it expands the options there. And then lastly, it allows you to run ads on Instagram natively without having to use the Facebook advertising platform. So that's something that if you are an artist, you should absolutely go do right away. I've got two Instagram accounts that I'm using. One, you know, the one for Small Town Poets and my personal one. My personal one is still a regular account. And I was messing with it last night. Just like, if I lock this into a business, is there some sort of something I lose? But it doesn't appear to be. So I'm going to switch that over.
Well, There was one thing I noticed when I switched, and that was that I no longer had the easy share to my personal Facebook profile. Then the
auto link up
is then to your page, your, you know, your Facebook page, which, you know, which is fine. But basically at that point, anything I make on Instagram that I want to share on my personal profile on Facebook, I just have to go to my camera roll and pull it from there because it'll be saved there. And then one other thing you mentioned, you said when you create the business profile, then you can advertise on Instagram. Another kind of tangential benefit of that is when you're doing Facebook ads, you can create a custom audience that is based on the people who are engaging with your Instagram account and then hit them on Facebook as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's options there. If you're not running ads just yet and taking the dive into that, those murky waters, the main thing you're going to get is the expanded contact and also the analytics and demographic information, but it's worth switching. I was doing a lot of reading for this podcast and everybody was saying, you know, switch over to that immediately. So now you can do that. It's just in your account. When you click on the profile settings on your phone, it allows you to, most likely there'll be like a like blue letters there that saying switch to business account. Just click on that and it'll show you what the main differences are before you confirm it. So check into that. The other thing I found interesting last night when I was reading was that Instagram, the core demographic on Instagram is 25-year-olds to 34-year-olds. So depending on who your fans are, Instagram may be the perfect platform for you, or if your fans skew older, the majority of them might still be on Facebook more than they are on Instagram. So something to consider.
There are more than a billion active monthly users on Instagram. So it's not
like
they're to that demographic.
Correct. No, that's just like in the little chart that they have, the big lump is between 25 and 34, if that made any sense at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just the core demographic, which when you think about it makes sense because Facebook has been out for a while and a lot of people jumped in on there. And unless you're younger and Instagram was the newer platform when you started to engage with social networks, a lot of people that are just doing it for their personal enjoyment, there's not a lot of incentive to keep creating new social profiles when they get what they need out of Facebook. So that's partly why that happens. But lots of interesting things on Instagram. So I'm going to start off with like just running down a few things that you need to know about standard Instagram. Then we're going to switch into stories. And Chris has some info about that. And there was definitely stuff I learned in the last couple weeks about Instagram stories that I didn't know. So
I have tons of notes in front of me, and I'm pretty certain you're going to have plenty of other things to share that I haven't thought of. So,
we'll run through standard Instagram pretty quickly because more people are familiar with that. First off, Instagram is a visual-based platform. And so the standard platform is what you're probably familiar with. You post a photo or you can post video. They just upped video up to an hour. But that's probably not how you want to use it starting out. Posting a lot of hour-long videos probably won't help you build an audience. But Instagram, I think if you use it properly, it is easy to start building some followers organically that are real and that are interested in your content if you do it right. So photos and videos. First off, I think for the standard platform, the quality of your photos is important. If you just post a bunch of random, not very good looking photos, it's a feed that, you know, people may not want to follow you. In fact, when I first started using Instagram, when it was, you know, years back, for whatever reason, it was this trend for people to take pictures of their feet standing somewhere. And it was all the time. And it got so excessive. I remember there was this one person I was following that their photos, one, weren't good, and it was just their feet all day long. I'm like, I don't want to look at your dirty feet all day. So I unfollowed them. So when I think about Instagram, it's like a curating a visual component to your brand. So thinking about how your band or you as an artist visually think about yourself, that's kind of the realm, in my opinion, you want to stick to or, you know, trend towards when you're using the standard portion of the platform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so with pics, as far as building your audience, hashtags are huge. And I forget what the number of hashtags are. You can use, I think, up to like
30?
20. Yeah, I think I was going to say 30. I was going to go with 30. And since you said 30, we'll say 30. It's a lot. You can use a lot of hashtags, and people follow hashtags. So what you want to do here is look for hashtags that are relevant to what you are doing. It doesn't even have to be just your music. If there is a concert picture of you and the venue you are at is in Atlanta, you can hashtag Atlanta. You can hashtag Georgia. You can hashtag music. All things that are relative to what is in the picture. And it also provides some strategic options when you start diving into hashtags and understanding which hashtags have big followings. For example, there's a lot of hashtags around music gear and guitar equipment that have huge followings. And so there was a time when I created this new pedal board that I'm using now for Small Town Poets for fly dates. It's much smaller, very compact pedals. I took a photo of it, posted it on our Instagram page, tagged and used all these gear hashtags that I know have big followings. And you get a lot of followers that way. You get a lot of people checking it out and liking it, but you also pick up followers.
Well, and then I think on that note, as long as the hashtags are related in some way to what you're talking about, or like, then it's a good idea to kind of have a balance between ones that are very broad, like, I don't know what that would be in terms of gear, like gear porn or something, as well as very, very niche ones, which are, you know, the actual pedals or cables or whatever. And I think, like, if you have a song that's about sunshine, go ahead and put sunshine. Like, you're going to get millions of, you know, well, not millions of hits, but that's a thing that is probably followed by a ton of people. So it's okay to go broad. And I think you should also balance that out by going very specific with your hashtags.
Yes, they do need to be related. If you just do a lot of hashtag stuffing of unrelated stuff, you're not going to pick up fans. People that may follow your account, it's not like they're going to like your music. Try to think, what is a connection here that I can make with somebody like the Georgia in Atlanta, someone who's just looking for things like, I'm interested in things that are in Atlanta, and they see a picture of our band. That's a strong enough connection. But, you know, there's some really broad hashtags where you could just, broad popular hashtags where you could just stuff your post with all day. And it just doesn't help you. There's some, if you go to Google and you search Instagram hashtags, there's some sites that will pop up that will tell you the most popular hashtags. So to give you a sense for what people are doing there, you know, there's other hashtags like Throwback Thursday, which is TBT, that people use on a reoccurring basis. And, you know, there's some like other hashtags related to the day of the week. I can't think of any at the moment, but I've seen them. So it's just a good place for you to start. And it puts you in those searches that people do by topic. After that, assuming you've got a good photo, you've thought of some hashtags. Another thing that's option that you have is to tag people. They've got some restrictions now. You can't just tag anybody. I think famous people and such, you can't just randomly tag. But this is a way to also draw attention to what you're doing. And the way I've used this, like again, going to that picture of that pedal board I created, every pedal on the board, I tagged the manufacturer of that pedal, and then I tagged the band. And my hope was that those brands would see my band posting about their equipment and want to comment, or, which happens a lot, them regram the picture and credit us and expose us to a much larger audience. So that's one way you can use tagging. Think about, you know, what is in the picture, the content of it, who's in the picture. And it's an opportunity when you tag somebody, it notifies them that they've been tagged. And a lot of times, you know, depending on what it is, people will repost it because of that.
Yeah. And then you mentioned regramming. That's, you know, there's apps like Repost and others where you take one person's Instagram photo and then you basically put it on your feed and hopefully you credit them.
Yeah. So then one more thing that is very useful in helping draw people in to your Instagram post is, you know, you can tag the photo, like there'll be an Instagram feed for Atlanta or Atlanta music, or I keep saying Atlanta because I did a gig in Atlanta. That just for reference. But there's those Instagram feeds, like the state of Georgia will have an Instagram feed. You can tag those people in the image, but then we played at City Winery in Atlanta. When you take the photo, it gives you the option to add a geotag, and those geotags also become searchable. So if somebody searches City Winery Atlanta in Instagram, the photos I posted and tagged will show up in that feed. So what I was reading last night was saying the combo of the tagging people in the picture and tagging the geolocation has a drastic impact on your engagement for your posts. So that's something to remember. It's easy to forget those things because if you spent 10 minutes trying to think of all the hashtags and then you wrote a post and then you were editing the picture, it can go on. It's like 10, 15 minutes of your time at this point. You're just like, let's just
for one picture, right?
Let's just get this thing done. And so it's easy to forget to tag people and also take advantage of the geolocation. But when you do that right and you have good content, it becomes very powerful for exposing yourself as an artist or band to lots of new people.
Yeah, and I think one thing that changed is when Instagram first launched, and I think for its first few years, people did regard it as a place to share things quickly. You know, you quickly add a filter, you throw it up. It was all about, just making it fun and immediate. But then over time, it did seem more like a careful, managed archival branding tool. And now I think it's, I wouldn't laugh at you if you said I spent 15 minutes on one Instagram post. Like, that seems okay to me. If you told me that 5 or 6 years ago, I would have been like, dude, just put it up in 10 seconds. Who cares?
Yeah. And I think that's one distinction we'll make when we start talking about stories, how the two are very divergent and I think make for a platform that is a lot of fun to use. A couple more things about the standard Instagram, the types of posts, like, I said photos and videos, but it really comes down to like interesting photos that have something to do with what your brand, your band, what you're doing. Then it seems to be video and inspirational quotes. It's like when I look down feeds, I see a photo of like, something or an inspirational quote or video. And, you know, the video basically runs the spectrum of which we've talked about for YouTube, whether it's cover song videos, just behind the scenes stuff, live stuff, you know, it's anything that happens on YouTube that you've experienced over the years is pretty much fair game on Instagram. But it's just funny. It's like you've got video, inspirational quotes, and then, you know, regular photos.
I'm laughing because there's a songwriter named Gavin Castleton who he puts up these Instagram photos with an inspirational quote, like, but they're really more like, do you remember Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy?
Oh, yes.
It's more like that, but even more like dark and nihilistic and absurdist. They're amazing. So it's, but they have totally that sort of, soft focus sheen and
yeah, it's weird.
On the picture, it's great.
There's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of Instagram feeds. It'll have that have more followers than I ever imagined to have on Instagram. And all they are is inspirational quotes all day long. I'm like, wow, that's not why I'm here. But apparently a lot of people
stop
are
reading inspirational quotes and go do something.
Yeah. I don't know. So, but anyway, I just thought I'd point that out because there's also people, you know, on the artist side will make a little image maybe with a lyric call out, like from a chorus or something. So that happens as well. I would throw that in the inspirational quote section, like doing an image that's not really much of an image to look at, but it's got lyrics over the top. That can, if you've got some poignant lyrics, you know, that could work for you as well. So there's lots of options with looking at content. I would say, you know, just go find artists and follow them and see what they're doing and, you know, see what's working and mimic the stuff that works. That's basically what I've done with our account. You know, you can go follow Small Town Poets on Instagram. It's just Small Town Poets. And you can follow Chris Robley. Chris does a lot of stuff on it too.
Just Chris Robley is my handle.
If you want to see what I've been doing with stories, that's on my own personal Instagram, which is just at K Bruner. Yeah, I just would follow bands and see what was working, what hashtags seemed to be working, finding areas of interest that I had or areas of interest or other accounts that I thought would have similar audiences and just learn from what I was seeing. You know, it's right there, right in front of you. So all you have to do is be a little observant and pay attention to what's working and what's not. So that's the last thing I have on regular Instagram before we start talking about stories is that it's very common for people to say, click the link in the bio, because Instagram does not make links live in the description or the, you know, the post content, which you type in the description, if you will. They don't let you link out, but it's very common practice and everyone is aware and it's, you know, people have been trained to do it, that if there's like new music, check it out, click the link in the bio. That's common practice. So take advantage of the bio link, make sure the bio in that section is up to date. Referencing the link is helpful. And there's a tool called Linktree that a lot of people are using, which allows one link to be a bunch of different links. So people click on that and they go to a landing page and you can then have your official website.
Oh,
and
that's a good tip. So yeah. Basically, you just always leave the Linktree link in the bio and then you change what that link leads to?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, similar to what our Here Now pages are or Linkfire, which those only pertain to where your music is being available. But this is like, you could make it your official website, your YouTube channel, your Spotify profile, a link to the new song. I mean, you can make them whatever you want. It's just basically a little page that has some links on it. But it's, you know, that one link goes to that page where you have multiple links. And it makes it, it's pretty popular on Instagram with brands, especially people that are doing a lot of things where they're trying to have different links rotating or promoting multiple things at once. So that's something that you should check out. And actually, I have one more. So I lied earlier. I have one more thing. I was reading last night that on a bunch of marketing websites that the length of post, how much you write about the image or the video, does not impact engagement. And I think what Instagram has done that has been, I think, brilliant and one of those, just a slight user interface tweak that users have learned to use, but also preserves the experience, is that they truncate all the, you know, the post content. So whatever you write after a certain number of characters, it gets truncated and people have to click to read more. And if your post is interesting and what you're saying is engaging, people click to see more all the time and it doesn't impact engagement. And if they're just scrolling through and just want to see the image, they don't have to see all that copy. So it does not impact engagement. So feel free to write really long posts. Lots of people do. Some people almost use it like a blog at times. And I've done similar things as well. And you can see some high levels of engagement sometimes where you do spend time talking about what's in the image or what's in the video. And I think this is where it's a powerful platform, where you've got this multimedia experience. You've got images or you've got video. And if there's video, you can have sound. And taking some time to really dive into what they're looking at or the thoughts, the feelings behind the imagery, to me, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, well, and it's also a way to kind of reverse engineer your social content. Like if you have a blog article or a you know, a text-based Facebook post that got a lot of engagement, like totally turn that into an Instagram post and then find the image that goes with it. You know, it doesn't always have to start with the image, but on Instagram, I guess that image is what's going to suck people in still, but then you have a place to park that other content that you know is captivating in some way.
Yeah, I think those are all my main tips for Instagram. If you're using Instagram and getting for standard Instagram, I'm saying the standard side of Instagram, if you're doing some things that we didn't mention, I'd love to hear about it so you can weigh in and pass along some tips. Let's transition into the story side of things. And we've started talking about it a little bit, but very, very two divergent pieces of Instagram.
Yeah. And I have friends still who are diehard Instagram users. They're on there all the time. They know what they're doing on the side of the platform that you just talked about. They do not engage with stories. They don't know anything about them. And it blows my mind.
They have not made the leap.
You're talking. That was you. Okay.
That was me until just a couple of weeks ago. And
wow.
Yeah.
And now you're hooked.
Yes. Well, it's opened up. I'm like, it's opened up a whole new world. But the interesting thing partly my problem was I didn't understand what I was supposed to do. And honestly, I will say there is a learning curve on how you use it. And there's a lot of things that aren't really explained that you can find on the web, like, oh, that's how they did it. So there was a learning curve, but in all honesty, it was you and a couple other people here at CD Baby that post stories all the time. And so I was just always hitting those stories and I like, okay, I'm starting to understand it. But I think what really made me kind of it click is Instagram, the standard side is like what we were talking about. It's like a brand image. It's possibly more curated, maybe a little more careful about how you present yourself. Stories is like Twitter. You just throw whatever you want up there. And
yeah, I was wondering if we should even start this section by defining what stories are.
Yeah, go ahead. You do that.
So like on its most basic, like stupid level, it's a place to share vertical pictures and videos, and the videos can be no longer than 15 seconds. So it's a place to just put immediate, quick pictures and videos. I mean, at its most basic level, that's what it is.
Did you just say the videos can only be 15 seconds?
Yes.
That's no longer true.
I thought that was only on IGTV.
Nope. Stories as well. They can be longer.
Really?
I wouldn't recommend it. And the only reason I found out was last night somebody had they had done an Instagram live and it went into their story and there was two segments and each segment was 30 minutes long. So
I thought that's where they made the exception, that if it's a live.
Well, maybe that was because it was a live. Okay. Maybe it was. I would say with stories, if your video is over 15 seconds, it's probably getting boring.
Right. Well, and also like, so as a user, as someone who's consuming this story content as opposed to creating it, like I kind of think of it as like the equivalent of when you've got the clicker in your hand and you're on the couch and you're just going through cable TV channels and then something grabs you and you park yourself on that show for a little while. In the same way, stories gives you this way to really quickly go through a bunch of your friends' lives and get a quick impression of like what they're up to. And, you know, it's like pretty low impact. So it's a thing that people do to pass the time between classes or like when they're in the bathroom for 2 minutes or whatever. Like it's a very, what's the word? Sort of scanning. It's a way to scan the lives of your friends. And because of that, I think it leads the creator of the story to have a way more fun, throwaway, almost like casual, creative approach to what they're going to share. And it can totally look trashy in a way like part of the appeal of stories is when they have an intentional trashy nature to it. So
that's what I was going to say. That's what took me a while. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to make it look trashy.
Yeah, it's like almost like a campy platform. Yeah. And so it's nice to be freed of that like archivist consideration you might feel like you need to make in your regular Instagram feed. And also when you're concerned about archiving things, you're probably not going to use a place in your regular Instagram feed to do show announcements or whatever, or these things that are very specific. Whereas on stories, it's perfect because they, unless you decide to archive them, and we'll get to that later, they're only going to last for 24 hours. So it's a perfect place to be like, hey, here's the marquee at this club we're about to play in Idaho. Pretty cool or whatever. And then like, you know, the fact that your show is over tomorrow, it doesn't matter because so is your story. So it's a way to be way more real time and fun.
Yeah, I think it's a way to have a little bit more personality, but also content that can just be fun, spontaneous, not worried about brand consistency, and that I think it especially more personalized to me in a visual platform like Instagram. On the the standard side, when I see stuff in my feed, I want it to feel a little bit more curated. But in stories, I think this is where you can especially talk to people, like what you're saying, with something in the moment where you're like, hey, we're in wherever and the show's here tonight. And if your feed was full of that stuff on the standard side, that'd get really old. But on the story side, it's perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, there are different kinds of branding. But I think the story, the more casual side of telling your story and branding yourself in that way, like you can really concentrate on like your vibe as a person and like your sense of humor or, you know, just things that, how you live your life, like what kind of beer do you drink on the weekend and where do you go camping and all this stuff that might not be, worthy of your sort of more curated bio. I think that's what I love about it. And then in the platform itself and stories, they give you all these little, details and tricks and things to really have a lot of fun with it. And we can talk about those later too, but I had like just a short list of what this thing is even for. Is that,
yeah,
should I run through those?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, so one is, establish branding on the casual side of things. And two, along with that, I think it's a place just to have fun. And when you're having fun, I think it frees up your mind to be more creative in ways that are more engaging. So that's, you can do this stuff that feels less salesy. So I've found it's a really good place where you can promote your music and be promotional. But because of that trashy in the moment sense, it feels like more of a conversation than it does like, oh, you just want me to whatever, follow your playlist or whatever, even though the end goal is exactly the same. So it's almost a way of disguising your promotion. And then because of all that, I feel like it's a way of driving engagement. Like people, I don't know if people are more apt to comment and like stories. That might not be true, but I definitely feel like there's a lot more eyes on my stories than there are impressions on the pictures I'm sharing in my Instagram feed. So yeah. And then also along with the promotion thing, my last thing is it's a place where you can directly share your music and we can talk about that in a bit too.
Going to like the casual versus more curated, while you were talking, I was thinking about the CD Baby Instagram account. And on the regular side, we do things like, quotes from artists or images of new releases or images of artists out on the road or some promotional things. But on the story side, you'll see more things like us goofing off in the office that wouldn't be brand appropriate. But if people like our brand, it's that kind of stuff where they feel like they get to know you more in a casual way. Like we're just friends hanging out. That to me is a way to see the distinction. Like, we're not going to post anything about what free lunch is on the main feed, but on stories, you'll see people giving commentary about it. So it's a way for you to just have fun. I don't know if you mentioned yet, but I think you might have, that it pops up right on top. When someone opens Instagram, the first thing on top is stories. And if they've clicked on one of your stories before, your story will be one like in the top five or maybe top three of the stories. So for example, every time I open Instagram, if Chris has posted a new story, it will be number one. If he's not number one, it'll be the other two people here at CD Baby that use stories all the time. And then it might be CD Baby. Then it's another handful of people that I've interacted with, maybe their story, maybe their post. So it really, really, really pushes you to the front of all your followers when they open Instagram. Even if they, you know, whether or not they had the intention of thinking about you, and it goes in there, and then it becomes just like a video roll and bounces from story to story to story. So they move really quick.
And I don't know if you just said this, but as a user, you can skip ahead. So the scrolling aspect of it can be as kind of,
that's
quick
actually
as
something I think is worthy of addressing, because that was one of the things that confused me forever. And I'm like, this is insane. People are writing these giant paragraphs on this and I can't see, I can't read it. So if you want to stop on a picture, you just tap the middle and hold it. You know, like you put your finger on the screen and hold it and the image will stay. So people have been, you know, if they write lots of text or whatever, you can stop the video roll from happening by just putting your finger on the screen. You can move ahead by tapping on the right, or you can move back by tapping on the left.
That did take me a little while to figure out when I first started using it. I was like, how do I even navigate this stuff?
It's worth mentioning because when you're thinking, oh, the video can be 15 seconds, which I verified, you were correct, 15 seconds, but those live videos, it'll let them play the whole way. So if even in archived live, so that's why I experienced a longer video in stories. So you can write and, you know, and use the tools they have to create something interesting and not worry about people not being able to read it. Because I think if you post a photo, I think those last 5 seconds by default. And and you can stack as many stories as you want infinitely in a day, but they all will disappear in 24 hours. So sometimes when you think you're watching stories and you feel like you're seeing animation, people are just using multiple images that are going through, and that's how they're doing it.
Yeah. So I had a list of things that I feel like are the little details that make it such a fun space. Do you want me to kind of just quickly run through them?
Go for it.
You can start with a picture or a video, and then you can give it character by adding text. You can scribble little drawings onto it. You can add, play with filters, you know, just the same way you would on, they're different filters, but in the same way that you might just your regular Instagram photo. You can add like GIF illustrations that are totally ridiculous and super fun. You can put hashtags, you can do the geolocation tagging. You can do like at mentions that will tag other users. You can put the time of day. And then some things that are more like directly engagement driven, you can take a poll or ask a question. And then when you answer it, you'll see the sort of the percentages of how people answered. And that's a lot of fun. For me, I have the most fun with those when it's like a completely ridiculous question and not an actual poll, but legitimate, sincere polls are fine too. And then they have this kind of ever-changing selection of graphics and emojis you can add to your pictures and videos. If you don't have a picture or a video, you can actually start with just a sort of flat background text and add, or not a flat background and then add text to it. There's all these different kinds of formats for stories. So that would be one of them, the text one. And I should also mention, I guess with text, you've got all different fonts and font sizes and backdrop colors, and you can play with all that. There is, like you already mentioned, the live functionality, and then afterwards you can archive it as a story. You can capture video and pictures within the app itself, or you can fly them in from your camera roll.
They must be vertical.
They have to be vertical. Well, or it will just make them vertical.
Yeah, it'll make them vertical. But if
crop things.
If you're thinking about, I'm going to drop my music video in here, you can, but it's going to crop it out. So they.
Right. Some other things you can access within stories is Boomerang, which is that Instagram app that basically takes a little snippet of a video and then sort of whiplashes it back and forth. That's a lot of fun. You can add music from a, you know, a list of Instagram vetted songs, to existing clips, or you can shoot something, pick the music first and then shoot your little story video to it. And then another cool thing that I think launched like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, you can from within Spotify share any single or album or playlist as an Instagram story, and it will auto-populate the story with the album or playlist artwork. And then you can add anything that I've already mentioned about text or drawing things or GIFs or whatever. Like, you can add all that to it. So that's a lot of fun. Oh, and then the thing, the story I'm so proud of today is this ridiculous thing I created with the Super Zoom feature. And it's this thing called Hearts, which is like this soft focusy thing with an auto zoom, and it plays this real like porn music in the background.
there's that word again. The reason I'm laughing is that pertains to a conversation I was having over Instagram outside of this about the proliferation of porn on Facebook. But that was happening right before this. I'm like, suddenly that's a theme. Where is this in Instagram? What is this thing you're talking about?
So if you are, let me get out my phone here. If you're in Instagram and you go to create a story.
Yeah.
And then there's all those sort of story formats right at the bottom that you can scroll through.
Yeah.
It starts on normal.
Yeah.
Go to the right and you'll see Super Zoom.
Oh.
And then even within Super Zoom as a setting, you have all these kind of subcategories. So the one I did that was the soft focus porny one is called Hearts. But then there's one called Paparazzi, which does like quick camera flashes. And there's one called Fire, which adds like heavy metal music and all these flames. It's a bunch of that stuff, which is like totally campy and ridiculous, but a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I was going to mention about just features is, you can, when you're done creating the story, hit the button that says your story and share it to everyone that follows you, or you can send it to particular Instagram users if you want to have it be a little bit more Snapchatty.
Yeah. Or you can just save it directly to your phone. It'll let you just save it to your phone too.
Yeah.
So a couple things there. First off, how you create a story from when you haven't done it before is not super intuitive. So when you open Instagram, it'll show your picture at the top, say your story, you click on that and it'll open up. If you have previous stories, it'll open up the previous story and start running it. Then your image will be on the top left with a little plus sign. So you click that to add another thing. But if you're starting from scratch, I think that goes, it'll automatically open up to start creating a story. But that was the one, once I created one, I'm like, well, how do I create another one? Every time I push this button, it just shows me what I just did. And that it's pretty small and there's a little plus sign, and that's how you keep adding that.
Yeah. And it does that thing where if you were to push the record button once, that's basically taking a still image. And if you hold the button down, it does the thing where it's capturing video. And then to stop recording, you just take your finger off the button.
So the other thing I'd mention when you're talking about music, there's two ways that you can do it. One, if you're in Spotify on your phone, you can share a song and it'll give you Instagram stories as an option. And it's formatted nicely. And like Chris said, you can do whatever you want to it, just like you do anything else. And it has a link to Spotify when people see that. I was using that a lot when our music was brand new and saw decent engagement from it. It's worth checking out and seeing how it works. Then also when you're there, when you click add a new story and it's got your camera open and there's all the options, when you select music, you can search right into Spotify right there. And if you distribute your music through CD Baby, your music will come right up. That's different than going to Spotify. Spotify, everything will be there. Whatever's on Spotify, you can share. But in Instagram itself, it's only if your distributor has that option. And if you haven't opted into our sync licensing program for the Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram monetization, you have to do that because it requires a sync, right? So just go opt into that if you hadn't already, and we will send your music so it'll show up in Instagram stories. And the formatting's a little different than if it was just shared off Spotify.
Yeah. I had another few things to mention about stories once they're created. One is that you can share them directly to your Facebook stories if your business accounts are connected. If you really like the story you made and it's getting good engagement, you would hate to see it disappear after 24 hours, you can archive it as a highlight. And I forget how many of those you can save, but it's a lot, like 50 or 60, I think. And basically you can create these different highlight buckets or categories that will appear at the top of your Instagram profile. So for me, there's a recording one and a tour one, videos. Then I have one for random, which is just me goofing off, and you can sort of, yeah, save your stories in those places. And then there is a kind of back-end messaging component. So if someone loves your story and wants to comment on it, they can leave a comment, and then you can begin a conversation flow behind the story.
That was something I had no idea really what was going to happen, you know, when I used that functionality. Because, you know, normal Instagram, you're used to commenting and your comment is public. And so in context, I hadn't used it. I'm like, I just want to like this story. How do I like it? And then I like pushed it. I'm like, oh man, I just sent that person a heart. What are they? if it looks like this big heart that I just sent, I mean, that may be the wrong impression, but funny story about that I realized last night about this whole messaging thing. I think it was at our conference, someone said that the number one usage of Instagram has nothing to do with posting photos, but it has to do with using this messenger app. And I was like, what? Are you serious? I don't believe it. At that point, I'd never used it. But then when I went to Australia, I'm like, I'm going to use this trip to really dive into Instagram stories and use it, try it out, see what kind of engagement it gets, and just kind of understand the functionality. And what immediately started happening is people started messaging me through the messaging app. I'm like, oh, okay, now I got a sense for how people are interacting with this. And so, and really thought that heart that I accidentally sent might have looked weird. because there wasn't just a like. But then I realized last night that what I thought I had been sending, like the rock and roll, like devil horns fist thing, I had been sending the hand that I think is supposed to say, I love you. And I was like, oh crap. I've been sending people that I love you hand. I thought it was the rock and roll sign.
You're really developing a talent for confusing people on Instagram.
Yeah. So, once I figured out what the context, people receiving the message and how it worked, it becomes something you start using a lot. In fact, last night I was sitting there, this was like 1:30 in the morning. I'm still having trouble getting over jet lag. I'm falling asleep around 2:30 these days. So I was sitting there about 1:30 at the computer working on just stuff for this. And I went, oh, what is this requested button? What is in this messenger app? What is this requested? And there was a whole bunch of people that had requested to message me. And a lot of them were people that I just met in Australia and from the conference. And so I just started, and there was a lot of long messages too. And they weren't people related to a post. They were just messaging me. And so I started answering people, and the people in Australia were online. So I was like in four different conversations at once with people. It was fascinating. I'm like, oh yeah, people are using this for messaging, and it's actually a pretty cool tool for that and useful. And once you start using stories and using it a lot, you'll start seeing people message you that way and start just picking up conversations that way.
Yeah. I mean, it might be my own ignorance about that aspect of all this, but I still find that whole messaging component a little bit hard to keep track of, in the same way that, you know, I can monitor my email inbox or my, you know, Facebook messages or whatever. But
it's kind of like text messaging. The thing that I was really liking about it is it's not disruptive like a text. Like my phone doesn't go zzz, zzz, or it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make you, it's not, it's a place where you can have an ongoing conversation with people, and it keeps the thread similar to a text message, but it's just, you know, it's nothing urgent like that has to happen over a text message. I mean, there's even a separate, you know, you could send someone a photo or a video directly that way as well. What else was I going to say about that? Yeah. So I apologize if you've been getting like all these hearts and I love you hands thinking, what is wrong with this guy? My mistake.
He's really positive or really creepy. Yeah,
that was more worried about the creepy thing. Last night I was looking at something. I was like, oh no, I've been sending that to all sorts of people. That's why we have the DIY Musician Labs. Our second tagline is making the stupid mistakes to look creepy so you don't have to.
That's good. I wanted to mention my favorite thing that people do with stories, and that is to connect them and make them use multiple stories to tell a story. And like it could be, you know, our friends in Stereo RV just today or yesterday shared one where it was like, hey, check out the view of this rooftop venue we're on. And then they pan the camera. And then in the next story, you see them playing and, you know, time has passed and they're in front of an audience and then a little bit more. So it's sort of like you can plant a little bit of mystery or setup, and then a subsequent story can complete the story in a way. And sometimes people will do that like in a more normal way, I guess, where they'll shoot a video that's a minute long talking or whatever, and then they cut it up into four different stories and you just go one to the next. And there's apps like Cut Story is one of them where they make that really easy to do. Or you could do a thing like you mentioned earlier where there's a still image and there's some text and then another bit of text pops up and another bit of text. Those are basically, you know, they're taking a duplicate image and then making it, adding different elements so that across four or five stories, you get the whole show announcement or the whole whatever. So I really like when people do that in a creative way.
Yeah. And at first I was like, I don't know what I think about this, because if it's an interesting story, you know, it doesn't get archived. However, what I thought was that the benefit of it is if you do it well, then people are going to want to see your content. And when they see you pop up there, they will specifically click on your story because you typically make good ones. I've seen people do that where they do it poorly. And it's just like, this is like a really long, ongoing, not very interesting thing. But if you do it well, I think it can be highly engaging. And then there's a little bit more maybe anticipation, or I must enjoy this now. And it's something that's probably more going on real time with you anyway, as an artist, with what's happening to you. And so the more and more I saw people doing it and doing it well, I liked it and got into it. But it has to be done well, you know?
Yeah. Although
maybe it doesn't
just
have to
not make everyone feel. No. It just so that people don't feel like a bunch of pressure. If you don't do it well, it's so easy to skip.
That's right. That's true.
On the other end of that, we'll just scroll through and like, you're not inconveniencing them that much.
No, you're not.
Which is again,
unless
so take some chances.
I have seen one person there's one that it comes to mind. Nobody that's listening to this podcast.
Is it me?
No, you're listening to this podcast right now. you're participating in it. No, nobody that listens to this podcast, they will do those and they will put like 40 images and it's just something that unfolds really slowly. But when you have to push like a ton of times to keep fast forwarding past it. Oh,
that's rough.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you swipe? No, if you swipe, it'll go to the camera. So that's where I'm saying do it well. And not that it has to be perfectly crafted, but I think what it does help people is it helps you think it's called Instagram stories, but it makes you think in more of a story type vein with what you're doing and feeling like things are connected as they go. If that makes sense. Not even the ones that are all together, but as you use it, it's it's something where you have to think about just, this is me as I go. And the more you use it, the more it starts to make sense. If you're thinking, I'm just going to go do a one-off and see how it works, that's not going to do anything. It's kind of building that ongoing story, personality, who you are. And that's how it works.
Yeah. And I know we said we weren't going to get into the advertising part of it, but stories can be used as ads. But if you are not paying for paid advertising, you will not be able to link out from a story unless you're have a verified account on Instagram, which takes, you know, a certain amount of followers and, you know, reaching certain metrics. So the only exceptions to that are that you can use a story to link to an IGTV video, which is a whole other discussion we could have another time. Or like I said, the Spotify link up, where you can link right from a story to a Spotify playlist or single or album.
One thing about that, the music feature, like you mentioned, linking, when you pull up like the little thing where it gives you all the hashtags and options, if the music button is grayed out, that is because you probably have it set up so your stories show up on Facebook. For whatever reason, if you have it set that way, they will not give you the option to do music that way. I have no idea why, because they're owned by the same company, and the license and the permission granted covers both through CD Baby. So I don't know why they've made that decision. I'm sure it'll change over time, but if you're going, why can't I use the music feature? It's grayed out. That's why. It happened to me, and I did a bunch of digging to figure out what was going on. And
you're saying it'll function that way if you have it so that all of your stories automatically go to Facebook?
No, if they automatically go to Facebook, it will not allow you to add music.
It won't. Right. Okay.
In that feature. I just got all tangled up in my headphones cord.
Are you in a swivel chair?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So if you see that happen, also, if there's some features that we've described and you're like, I'm not seeing that at all, you need to update your Instagram. You might have an old version of Instagram. Some of this music functionality just happened in the last 9 months, 6 months. And if you're not seeing it there, and if you're not seeing it on Spotify, you need to update your Spotify app. So you got to make sure you're running all the latest versions of these apps, because some of these features could be missing.
Yeah. And you mentioned analytics before, and one of the things that could be exciting or depressing, depending, is in those analytics, you can see who's not who, but how many people are skipping your stories or, you know, really engaging with it. So you get a sense of what's working and what's not.
That may be a deterrent for me turning my personal one into a business page, because find out everyone just hates everything. I'm like, oh, that's depressing. They hate me.
Let the pain be instructive.
Yes. So much instruction.
Dear Lord, please less instruction.
Less instruction for me at this point in my life. You teased us at the beginning about some amazing Instagram story post you made, and I feel that we've not gotten to that point yet.
Well, I think you should check it and see if does it rise to my,
let me see,
the promises I've made.
I'm looking right now. Oh, that's that new. I had to look away, Chris. That was just too much.
No, wait. I have an important question. Did you have the sound on?
Oh wait, no. Let me turn the sound on. I'll turn the sound on, because it'll be gone by the time. Here we go. Here it comes. If the music makes you think of some sort of creepy, cheesy guy leering at you on the web, that's exactly what it was, with hearts all around it. It made me feel very uncomfortable
this morning. And I was like, it made me feel very uncomfortable. And then I couldn't stop watching it for like a minute afterwards.
I'm going to accidentally send you a heart and then the love hand. And,
you know what though? I loved it so much. I added it to my highlights in the random category. So if anyone's listening and wants to see the horror that is this story,
I forget how I was just liking it. Cause like I was clicking something, like it gave me the option to send something or to just like, where is that option? Oh, wait.
Oh, well, when you're viewing a story, there's a send message field down at the bottom.
That's not it. And there's the send message field. That's how you like message somebody. But I thought there was like something you could do where we just like send a heart, like you liked it. I'm not seeing it at the moment. So I just sent you the hand I was erroneously sending to people.
And meanwhile, I'm looking at a picture of you in like junior high playing football.
That was my freshman in high school.
Okay.
Hence the post. Did you read the post?
No, I didn't, but I'm trying to concentrate on this podcast.
I know that's the thing. That's probably why we shouldn't do discussions about apps much, because then we have our phones in front of us. We just start goofing off and sending each other messages during the podcast taping, and everyone listening feels like an outsider. That's just terrible. We're terrible podcast hosts. Anything else?
Oh, I just thought of one quick thing. If you aren't like really good at designing, you should check out Canva, which is a free app that you can make images in, and it has default settings for a regular Instagram square image, also a story, the dimensions for a story, all that sort of stuff. So they make it pretty easy to just get exactly what you need.
Yes, and that's a separate app that you can put on your phone. And where that is really handy is when we were talking about those highlights, which are just stories that you can group together and save like a button when you go to the profile of an artist or band, and you're like, hey, how did they get all those highlight buttons on their profile page? And when I click on it, I get like saved stories. Those buttons, the way people make those look like icons is using Canva. So I won't go into details about that there or here, but you can search it online.
I think I actually wrote a blog article about
that. You probably
that.
Did.
So
we probably could have saved everyone an hour and a half and just sent them a couple blog article links.
They would have missed that excellent music they heard a minute ago.
Yes, that was something special. I'm going to have to go erase my brain somehow. My eyes. My eyes. Oh man, you know what? I just remembered we've got phone calls today, so we got to get moving.
Oh, wow. Let's go.
Any final thoughts on Instagram stories?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I will say this. If you want to follow us, please do. It's a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying Instagram stories, especially like when people are interacting. It's a whole lot more fun. It feels very different than the comments. It feels more like an ongoing conversation. Been chatting with a lot of people from Australia, people from our conference and other friends. And it's just fun and using stories and kind of bounce back and forth. So if you want to follow me or Chris, we'd love to chat. I'm at K Bruner. Chris is Chris Robley. And then Small Town Poets is at Small Town Poets. You can see what I'm doing more on the band side there. I'm not doing stories as much there just because we're not together as much. But when we are together, I'm been trying to use it more and try it out. So we've got a run of shows coming up next month. And so there'll be a lot more activity on stories and things like that happening there. And the last thing I was going to say is I already know a lot of our podcast listeners are on Instagram stories and doing it well and on Instagram and doing it well. So if you have any tips or tricks that we missed or have examples of something that has worked well for you, please email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. Or call the listener line at 360-524-2209. And with that, let's get into some phone calls. You ready? Ready for the calls?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Chris and Kevin. This is Sheldon
and Hadar
from New York City-based indie folk pop duo We Are the Northern Lights. We're longtime listeners, first-time callers. We just left our first DIY musician conference. We're actually at the airport, and man, just had to say what an amazing experience.
Yeah.
We just want to thank you so much for an awesome conference.
And honestly, we're a little bit tired, but totally fired up. I mean, we learned so much,
yeah.
So many practical tips, and actually started implementing them on day one of the conference, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And really just wanted to tell your listeners, if you're serious about being a professional musician, you need to attend this conference. There's just nothing better you can do. That's it. Thank you guys so, so much.
Yeah, and, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing the next episode.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for the call. I love that band name.
Wow.
We Are the Northern Lights. They actually, I think they started, they were somebody who messaged me through Instagram when I found that button that said requested. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all these people that have been messaging me and I had no idea. And a lot of them were asking me, somebody was someone that I had promised a free ticket to the conference. I'm like, oops.
and then never delivered?
No. And they didn't make it because all because of me. And I did not know that that whole message side of Instagram existed. But I really like the name. We Are Northern Lights.
Yeah, that is a cool name.
Yeah, the ringing.
And also, well, first, we should thank them for being there. And I'm glad they got so much out of it. And that's like an awesome testimonial.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much. It was very tiring. Oh, speaking of Nashville, in the last episode of the podcast, we said that we would post the live podcast taping the next, it would be the next episode. As things go, there were some technical difficulties. Surprise, surprise. We got the files back from the sound company that was there running sound and recording stuff, and the last 15 minutes were cut off. And it was like that on a couple sessions. So we contacted them to see if what happened, if it was just in transfer or if we were just out of luck. And the person on my team that's been engaging with them and getting it worked out has been out getting married. And so I don't have an answer yet of whether or not we have the actual fixed files. If the file is not fixed, we will, Chris and I will improvise the last 15 minutes and we'll figure something out. But thank you to the Sheldon. I didn't catch the second name, but We Are the Northern Lights for being there. It is a very sad day when you have to leave the Nashville airport and go back home. So looking forward to next year in Austin. It's going to be amazing. I'm headed down to Austin in November just to scope out the hotel and start the whole thing up again. So we'll have information about tickets. And if you went already, we have special discounts for conference veterans. So it's become my favorite time of the year and it goes by too fast. So
it does.
Next call.
I forget if just one thing to say on that topic. I forget if we talked about this. I guess we haven't recorded a podcast since then, did we?
We did a recap. Remember?
Yes. Okay. All right. I would think I was.
I was really sick. My
exhausted.
Mic screwed up. It was the whole thing.
Okay. I take back what I've already said. What I needed to say.
Well, then. The funny thing was, I felt like I've been out of town for a month. That when I was trying to think what we would do, knowing that I didn't have that live podcast to go, a lot of the things I was thinking of, I'm like, wait a minute, we said that already, I think. And I'm like, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did a whole recap episode. So we're good there. All right, next call.
Hey, Kevin and Chris. My name is Daryl, a.k.a. Great Brilliance on all the socials, producer and artist manager. I was wondering and trying to get your insight on the download for music and just basically the best way to build an email list, you know, with, you know, basically the whole history of recorded music on, you know, you can stream it right there directly from your pocket. And I work primarily with hip hop artists and it's a heavily streamed, actually, I think it's the most streamed genre. So I was trying to find out what is your perception and what have you seen work or kind of other ideas in regards to building that email list? Because I just don't think that, you know, music for download works. I mean, you know, you can window it, and maybe it's exclusive music that you haven't put on the streaming networks, but that really only works if you already have a fan base. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just running into a lot of different obstacles. And of course, fans are fickle. You gotta find your tribe, and I get all of that. But when you're looking for that tribe and you're trying to entice them to give you that email to build the relationship and to build that connection, what do you see is the most effective now, minus the, you know, song for email? Because, like, again, I just don't think it's the most effective and enticing. And, you know, and again, you know, they have access to all their favorite songs now, so why would they give you their email? So, you know, I've looked at giveaways being a good option. Also, you know, pairing your song with maybe a discount, working relationships with other organizations, or just having access to maybe discount codes that other people may not have and things of that nature. But again, I just want to get some insight from you guys. What have you seen from other artists, or just what have you worked on, and you know, just get your perception. Thank you so much. Appreciate the podcast. You guys take care. Bye.
We do have an answer, what? Chris, or were you just goofing off on Instagram stories the whole time?
No, I was, but I was listening as well. I think that he's right about MP3s having lost their appeal as an enticement to subscribe to an email list. But I still think there's a lot of things you can do, and especially if it's the hip hop world where a lot of that activity happens on SoundCloud. Exclusivity still has an appeal for me. So, like, I think if you put one or two or three songs as private, or kind of I forget how they term it on SoundCloud, but basically
private
tracks that only people can private. Okay. So only if they have that direct link, which you're going to send them when you welcome them to your email list, and no one else on SoundCloud is going to hear it. That still is worth something to me. And then I was just talking with Cheryl B. Englehart yesterday about this, and her opinion is, yes, okay, MP3s might have lost their appeal in a streaming world, but really what it comes down to is just the gesture, and maybe the actual thing you're promising in return isn't as important as just the fact that you're saying, like, I value that you're giving me this information and I'm going to give you something in return. And half the people probably don't even, you know, press download or whatever when they get that first email, but it's just the nature of, like, welcoming them with something more than a thanks.
Yeah, so, I think some of it is just honestly, you terminology, like getting away from using the word like email in exchange for free download, instead saying enter your email address and get instant access to a live track, an exclusive live track.
Yeah, because MP3 on its own with no context has no value, but if it is, like you're saying, it has some greater
appeal. Yeah, putting the emphasis on the content and not the format, because telling me you've got a download for me, that feels like work. It not only feels like work, it is work. I have to work to figure out how to get that file somewhere in a place where I want to listen to it and not just download it into the download folder, listen to it, and then throw it in the trash or something. Because if you want it in your music library, then it's a whole big thing.
It could also be like an unlisted YouTube video where you're just talking to the camera and talking about your greatest challenge, or like the funniest moment of your life, or, you know, anything you feel like is interesting to someone who's got some bit of interest in your music already.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be unlisted or private, depending on how you say it. Like that campaign I've been doing using show.co where it says, "Hear the song that got us kicked off the stage." That is a live SoundCloud link. Anyone can go to our profile on SoundCloud and hear that track. It's just they're not going to, because they're not going to know, they won't know to do it. And the intrigue and the selling the story is more what gets them to take action than the actual file at the end of the road.
Right.
All right. One more call.
Hey guys, my name is Wilson Wallace. I'm a mostly acoustic musician out of Charleston, South Carolina. And I was just wondering if you guys had any advice about someone who mostly plays bar and restaurant shows and how to kind of bridge the gap between that and playing at venues. Like, something like what would I need to do to, like, gain enough audience members through those type of gigs to be able to play, like, a show with a certain capacity? All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, Wilson. Chris, do you have any advice for him?
Yeah, I'm probably just thinking out loud here, but I think once you've done the kind of like cover band, bar band thing long enough, you probably have a sense for how many people are there because of something unique that you do versus they just like going to that bar and your music is good enough to serve their need of, you know, being a part of their party. And once your audience that you feel like is really there for you is big enough, you should also probably be able to incentivize them, encourage them, beg them, all the usual things you do when you first start playing your own music, to come to a show that is specifically geared around like your music. And I don't think you necessarily need to abandon all of the stuff that was more whatever party oriented or whatever. Like, you can still play a few covers or whatever, but you know, I think you'll probably know when you get to the place where you have enough of that audience, and then just make sure they know it's important for them to show up to this event because you need to make that impression on the club or the talent buyer or whatever. I know that's probably very vague, but
the advice I would give is this: when you say you're just starting out and you're getting those restaurant bar gigs, like you mentioned, that most likely, you know, my first thing that jumps to mind is he's probably background music. And so my estimation is he's wanting to know, how do you transition from being background music to being on a stage where people are at least there to give more attention to the music? I think one thing you can do is take some time and build out some of the, like, use, especially like Instagram, where there is like this clear branded image. And it doesn't have, when I say branded, I mean like going and getting a bunch of design and stuff, but that it's clear that you are an artist and you're doing music and you have something going on. So it just looks like, oh, he's played more than one gig. He's played multiple gigs. Oh, it looks like, you know, this isn't his first show. And spend some time with that, you know, because you may be in an environment where you can get some cool looking photos. People don't know that you're at a restaurant necessarily. And just start to build out this idea and impression that you are out playing at least. And from there, at those places, if it's appropriate, depending on the place, anyone you talk to, getting them on an email list or connected somehow. And really, when you start approaching clubs, I would actually approach other bands in the area and be friends with them and try and get them to let you open. Just let me open for 10 minutes, three songs. Let me play three songs before you guys go on. And so I can get my foot in the door and just have that experience. Offer to unload and load their van for them or pay for their dinner or buy them a round of drinks. You know, there's options like that that will work for you. And then try to just build out the idea that you play and approach club bookers, approach other bands, let them know, be honest about them that, you know, you are just starting out. You've been playing here a lot. You've developed your craft, but you know, you want a shot, and they might give you an opening slot on an off day. And then from there, just show up, be professional, do a good job, get as many people out as you can, over deliver, don't over promise. And that's usually how you just start things rolling. It's time. It's a process.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm overly focusing on whether there's a difference of the material that gets played in these settings. Like, but if you find yourself in that restaurant setting as kind of background music playing a bunch of covers, you can, like Kevin said, do whatever you can to get those people onto an email list, onto your Facebook page, Instagram, whatever. And then when you're on those platforms, be sure to maybe not ignore the cover aspect or the sort of more like general entertainment aspect of what you do, but make sure you're playing on Facebook Live or Instagram Live your own stuff, so you can start getting engagement around you, the artist, as opposed to just you, the professional background musician.
Yeah. I hope that's helpful. Thanks for all the calls. If you would like to call our listener line, you can do so at 360-524-2209, or you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. You know what's funny is before the last episode or the last couple episodes, we got lots of emails, and there's probably still more emails that I could pull through and you know, use for the show and will in future episodes. But before this one, we got a bunch of phone calls. It's just weird. It goes in cycles.
Interesting.
I'm going to sit and think about that for a while.
Yeah. It's all about where Jupiter is in the seventh house of its retrograde. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's all about the zodiac.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing what people do with Instagram and having, while we were on listening to that phone call, I believe you were screwing around on Instagram stories. What was that filter you used, or how did you do that? You look like Mr. Hollywood. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you still there?
Sorry, I just got back here. It all went silent for like 30 seconds. Did you just go on a brilliant tangent?
No, everyone listening is going to think you were on Instagram stories while I was talking to you, because I was asking you what's that last story you posted was with all the flashes. It looked like you were like paparazzi.
Oh, that's a super Zoom one called paparazzi.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Lots of fun to be had. I don't have to leave the house anymore. I'm just going to use Instagram stories all night and get loads of
live music is dead. It's all about just playing on Instagram now.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I'm just kidding.
Oh man. Now that the podcast is basically over, so if you're really irritated with Chris and I at this point, you can tune out. But it was funny going to Nashville. I thought, you know what? I should brush up on my country music. And I downloaded some Spotify playlist, like top country hits or whatever. Never got around to listening to it. And on the way back from Australia, I thought, oh, I'll give it a listen. And when the first song came on, and after like the third stereotypical country song reference, I thought it would be a hilarious drinking game to take a shot every time somebody mentions a car, a road, getting off of a blue collar job, and referencing a female as my girl. And but then
corn, puppy dogs, shotguns,
throw guns in there, but even just those four references. So that I was thinking that when I was listening to the first song, and by the second song of that playlist, I thought, well, the drinking game would have to be changed, because if it was shots, we'd all be plowed by the third song. I mean, no one would be. And then after listening to more of the playlist, I'm like, no, it'd really have to be just like a half sip of beer, because every song was referencing a car, a truck, some sort of vehicle, a road, being out in the open, getting away from it all with their girl after they get off their blue collar job. It was quite entertaining, but it was.
You sure it wasn't like the country cliche playlist?
Yes, it was the top country music hits.
Oh,
but it was all new stuff. And the other thing I noticed, which was kind of an interesting observation, all just around this one genre. People know the stereotypical type stuff, but it was just like so prevalent. It was beyond formulaic. But the other thing that I noticed is that every single album art had a person of the artist on the cover, every single one. And the person was always standing cropped dead center. And so Spotify has this new view when you play a playlist. I'd never seen it before, so it must just be on their mega playlists, where it shows the album art like Instagram story. So it's cutting off half the outsides of the album art. And the reason why it struck me that everybody in the country music playlist had a picture of themselves dead center was because they all showed up dead center in that playlist view. It was
it's all part of the big machine formula.
Yeah, so it was just fascinating, sitting on a plane, being really bored, listening to this and start analyzing it all of a specific genre. So I saw that and I thought, if I were to do a country album, which isn't going to happen, I would make sure to take my, that the album art was me on the cover dead center, because every single one was. Just something I noticed.
It's fascinating. And it's such a strange metaphor for so many other things about the industry. Not to say that they're bad, because obviously it's an effective way of dealing with the way images are presented in that.
Yeah. Format. And you know, there's things like that that show up in hip hop and rock, but it was so obvious with, when I was listening through this playlist, that it was so formulaic. And part of the reason why I was wondering that started this is when I was in Nashville, I was at, what was it called? Redneck something. Was it called Redneck Heaven?
Oh, yeah. What is that place?
I forget.
Shoot. I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, I'm in the audience and there was someone else with me from the conference. And I look over and I said to her, is it just me, or are we the only ones in this whole place that don't know every single word of these songs? But then I look over and she knew every word of the song. I'm like, what is going on here? I am the only one in this venue that does not know every word to these songs. And so that's why I was like, I should probably brush up. But I don't know why. I just felt, I felt left out. That's what I felt. But just interesting, aww, interesting observations on a particular genre, and just some of the things that, like in a playlist world where you're hearing multiple songs that are supposed to be hits all stacked together, and seeing the album art all stacked together, what things they have in common and what things might be indicators of what that genre is expecting when that you present yourself as an artist. So that's my ending anecdote for today. It was long and probably no one listening anymore, but so yeah,
that's good. Then just bring it to a dwindle it to a close.
Yeah, if someone's listening to this while they're, you know, trying to go to sleep in bed, that probably just lulled them to sleep right there. Anyway, we've got more podcasts coming. We are going to roll out content from the conference. Chris and I have our DIY Musician Labs projects going on, that we have lots of interesting info that we've been collecting and using ourselves as guinea pigs that we'll be talking about over the next few months. And man, it's time to get out. It's fall. People are, you know, back from tour. It's time to make some new music. Time to get the promotion train running and make things happen. So it's going to be a good couple months of podcasting and discussing how to make it all happen. So I think that is the end. Follow us on Instagram.
And go get your free Chris Robley album.
Yes.
Go.chrisrobley.com.
Do it now. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.